time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
3-2 pitch. Fastball belted, deep right. Long gone.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's a big time Wednesday edition of Overtime. Welcome into the program. We got it all for you today, including the debut of a new segment, my first iteration of power rankings for the NFL season, a big chance for you to win with today's identity crisis, some Aggie football talk, and so much more. And oh yeah, we got some rankings to round up with you on the show and an NFL game to preview tomorrow night between the Philadelphia Eagles, the defending Super Bowl champion, that makes me sick to say, and the Dallas Cowboys, who jettisoned their best player, most impactful defender, one of the best defenders in the league, just last week. We'll dive right in here in a moment, but first things first, what's to come on today's show? Aggie head football coach Jerry Olszewski will join us here in about 20 minutes, and in about 40 minutes, it's a wide array sort of segment here on the show. U.S. Open talk, Major League Baseball chatter, history for Shohei Ohtani, a guy who is no stranger to making waves in his Major League Baseball career, and so much more, including the identity crisis presented by the Original Pancake House. And I think today will prove to be a little challenging. Might have to rack the old noggin a bit, go down memory lane to remember the former NFL player I've got on my mind today. We'll test your wits and hope you come armed with some wits today at the end of hour number one for the identity crisis presented by the Original Pancake House. Also on the way, hour two, headlines and highlights, latest from the NFL, the definitive list, according to yours truly, of Super Bowl contenders. In my estimation, there is only a handful of teams that will win the Super Bowl this year. You can be confident, you can be realistic, and most people won't call you crazy. There's a very small number of those teams. There's a bigger number of teams that can win the Super Bowl if a lot goes their way, if their division is a little bit worse, if their competitors are a little bit worse, and they get the development from the people they need to. The Vikings, to me, fit on that list. They can win the Super Bowl this year. Will they? Are they a frontline team that should or could or will win the Super Bowl? I don't think so, but they can win the Super Bowl in 2025. That Minnesota Vikings bracket also broken down a little bit further. We got teams that'll be fun to watch, teams that nobody wants to watch, and a very short list of teams that have no chance of winning the big game coming up in 2025. That's on the way. Power rankings as well, hour two. And then we debut Dings and Dents. It's going to be a several times a week segment highlighting and lowlighting the injuries that are shaking up the sports world. Chiefly football season, very physical. Who's in, who's out, who's dinged, who's dented. It's all brought to you by Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center. They got two great locations here in Sioux Falls, 26th and Sycamore, and Central Sioux Falls off of Kiwanis. Check them out and see their great products and friendly service at Wayne and Mary's, Wayne and Mary's Nutrition Center. Let's get into your scorecard now from yesterday. Major League Baseball, the Mets beat up on the Tigers 12-5. Detroit is now 80-60 on the year. Good news for the Tigers, though. Cleveland lost to Boston 11-7. Kansas City lost to L.A. 5-1. And the Minnesota Twins ended up losing to division rival Chicago 12-3. Here's Andrew Benintendi putting the icing on the cake late.
The 0-1 hit high in the air and a long, long way to right field for Andrew Benintendi. And Andrew Benintendi is living rent-free at Target Field. Upper deck home run for Andrew Benintendi. It's 11-3 in favor of the White Sox, who have dragged the Twins behind the woodshed tonight.
Dragged him into the deep water, and Minnesota found out they couldn't swim in a hurry. 12-3 the final. Minnesota 62-76. The free fall is on, and manager Rocco Baldelli, typically Mr. Positive, not pulling any punches post-game.
You know, I'm going to stay optimistic most of the time, but, you know, that wasn't good. That wasn't real good. You know, we did some good things to be in the position that we were in the fourth, fifth inning. Sim started the game off throwing the ball pretty well. The position players had some good at-bats, and Buck got it going again. There were some good things happening. You know, we started to, on the mound, not throw strikes. We had a couple of plays in the field where we don't complete plays that we absolutely need to complete those plays. Those are the fundamental baseball plays that you have to make consistently if you're going to win in this league. We didn't make them tonight, and then the game got away from us.
That's Twins manager Rocco Baldelli. You know, tongue-in-cheek post-deadline when Minnesota jettisoned 11 Major League Baseball players off their roster, did get some in return and a lot of prospects and future hope before the sale decision with the Pollad family the week following. I said tongue-in-cheek about the Twins. Maybe they're going to be so bad that the White Sox could catch them. And I didn't believe that, but I will tell you right now, it could happen. It's an 11-game margin right now. You can talk about the number of games left, around 30-ish for both teams. White Sox better than the Twins yesterday, 12-3. Minnesota, 62 wins. Chicago, 51 at this September 3rd juncture of the season. Other finals quickly here. St. Louis beats up on the A's 2-1. The final score, Cardinals are 69-71, and the Colorado Rockies have won the race to 100 losses. 39-100, the new record. Rockies lose at home to San Francisco last night, 7-4. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Mets at Tigers, a 12-10 go time. Guardians at Red Sox, Angels at the Royals, Braves visit the Cubs, Phillies at the Brewers, and the Rockies host the Giants yet again. Twins do it again at home against the White Sox, a 6:40 start time. 6 o'clock is your pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. All sorts of smoke and fire in the post Micah Parsons trade away from the Dallas Cowboys. Here is Athletes First agent David Mulugeta on how this napkin negotiation, closed door negotiation went down and ended up leading to a dismissal from Parsons off the team. Here's Mulugeta talking about Jerry Jones's meeting with Micah.
As far as Micah's concerned, he was out of the country. He got a call from Jerry's assistant and was asked to come in to meet about leadership. So when he got back from his vacation, he came in and he gave him a call, told him he was back. He was ready to meet. At some point during that meeting that was represented to him about was going to be about leadership, it turned into contract and talk. And, if you're a 25-year-old football player and your boss, who happens to be the most powerful person in the NFL, starts talking about contracts, it's hard for you to end that conversation. So they had a conversation. Micah nodded his head out of respect. Obviously, there's a power dynamic that's a little different there. One guy is the owner of the team and the GM, and the other one is Micah Parsons, a young 25-year-old football player. So I'm not sure if there was a miscommunication there by the time Micah walked out, but at no point did Micah believe that he was negotiating a contract.
And again, it may have been just a chat about structure. What are you looking for so I can work on a deal? And it appears that Jerry Jones was dead serious. Micah Parsons was saying, this is all well and good, but I've got an agent for a reason. And power dynamic, power struggle. We played into that a little bit during that time where we first got reports of that meeting and Jerry taking it for gospel. Micah saying that wasn't a negotiation. Here's Mulugeta a little bit further on how the Dallas Cowboys shut down negotiations following that meeting.
I think that was the part for us that was the most confusing, right? I understand Jerry's always going to do what's best for the Cowboys, and we get that, right? His job is to do what's best for the team and put them in the best situation to win. In this situation, once Micah asked for his representation to be involved, we assumed that that would go like any other negotiation and they would reach out, or they would allow me to reach out and commence negotiations. But I can't answer that question. I'm not sure how this turned the way it did. We were open to negotiate. We reached out numerous times to Adam Priska there, who does their contracts. I reached out to Stephen Jones as well and ask him, to start negotiations. But for some reason, coming out of that conversation, Jerry believed that he had reached an agreement and he was not open to negotiating any further.
And again, it's a really ugly situation because most rational people believe that the Cowboys wanted Micah Parsons and Micah Parsons wanted the Dallas Cowboys. That's the narrative that's out there. Micah said recently, I'd love to still be there. Even though I like to be here in Green Bay, I'd love to still be on the Dallas Cowboys, paid what I'm worth and finish my career there. We'll dive into that nuts and bolts of the quote later in the show, but it's all very interesting based on the timing from Jerry Jones. It's the spin cycle saying I was going to trade him all along. Why now? Here's Jerry Jones himself.
There's a huge topic of conversation right now is the Micah Parsons trade. Cowboys fans have a lot of feelings about it. The world has a lot of feelings about it. And a lot of people want to know, why now? Do you feel like this is going to be a turning point in getting the Cowboys back to the championship?
We have two kinds of capital or currency in the NFL. One of them is draft picks, and the other is the financial, because every team is limited to the same amount of resources to spend. And having said that, Micah enabled us to have four, possibly as many as six players for the future. That's a good trade when you need numbers. I'll take the numbers every time.
So Jerry Jones spin cycle again there. When you talk about the options for Dallas, they didn't have to trade Micah Parsons. They controlled his contract for three additional years. This year, franchise tag next year, franchise tag in 2027. They controlled Micah that long. Now, should they have gotten the deal done last year? Yeah, with Micah, not a trade deal. They should have gotten a contract done with Micah last year when it was prudent to do so and when the value didn't get so sky high in the wake of Myles Garrett's deal, TJ Watt's deal, and others. That's when they should have done it. But when you wait to the 11th hour, you get hamstrung a little bit, just like they did with their coaching situation and Mike McCarthy. They waited and waited and waited. They brought him back after the embarrassing postseason loss to the Green Bay Packers, and then they waited on the contract postseason after a disappointing year last year, and then eventually Mike McCarthy said, you know, I'm going to take a year off, Jerry, and then Jerry comes back and says, we want you to be our coach. Here's a new contract, and Mike says, no, thank you. So the Cowboys wait there. They get Brian Schottenheimer, one of the least inspiring hires in recent memory in the NFL. And it all adds up to a gigantic mess in Dallas. But Mad Dog Russo saying Jerry Jones is getting too much flack for trading away Parsons.
You're paying a linebacker $45 million who may not even be able to play Sunday because he's got a bad back. Paying him $45 million, and they got the two picks. Listen, I don't like to support Jerry. He probably should have done this in May, open it up to other teams. But the idea that somehow Jerry Jones, and remember, the Cowboys traded Herschel Walker, everybody couldn't stand that, turned out to be the foundation of them winning championships. I don't have a major problem with it. Listen, Lawrence Taylor was on a team once, nobody's better than him. That was 3-12-1. You need the quarterback. And he is not going to throw the ball, catch touchdowns, or run for touchdowns. Dallas getting too much abuse.
So are they really getting too much abuse? Because based on timing here, this was a flunk job for the Dallas Cowboys. They should have traded him pre-draft, get some draft capital this year that can help their team. Anybody that's saying, oh, we're going to get better this year by letting go of Micah Parsons and bringing in 30-year-old Kenny Clark is out of their mind. And the first-round picks are not comparable. And I'm so tired of hearing the Herschel Walker deal here with the trade and saying, that's apples to apples. It's not. This is apples to oranges. The Packers' draft picks are likely to be late second or late to the first round, 20, 28, 32. Hopefully, for my Green Bay Packers getting to the top of the mountain, we'll see. But they're not going to be premium first-round picks. Will they help the Cowboys in the future have two first-rounders in 26 and 27? Yes, it will. But their best hope here is that one of those first-rounders from Green Bay could maybe turn into an all-pro stud pass rusher that can help you win games and relentlessly get after the quarterback, win Defensive Rookie of the Year, go to three all-pro teams, four Pro Bowls, and be named Micah Parsons. They had him in their hand, and they let him go at a really weird time, and it's just very similar, eerily similar to the lack of a coaching decision from Jerry Jones this offseason. You miss out on Ben Johnson, you miss out on Mike Vrabel, you miss out on the other big names out there, and then you end up settling for Brian Schottenheimer in Dallas, who has this message to his team ahead of tomorrow's opener in Philadelphia against the defending champion Eagles.
You get a chance to go out there against the Eagles. You don't get extra credit for beating the Eagles in Philly on primetime than you do for beating the Giants at noon in AT&T Stadium, so what I don't want these guys to do, and I think the coaches are a big part of this, is go in there and try so hard. Oh, we're playing the Eagles. I'm going to do so hard. They're going to make mistakes if they do that. Play free. It's football.
Play free. It's football. Philadelphia set to dominate tomorrow night. The spread is 8.5. Even money on the juice there on the Eagles. Cowboys, a big underdog, 7:20 on NBC tomorrow night as we officially get underway with the 2025 NFL season. Now, moving forward, Friday, we'll see the Chiefs and Chargers collide in Brazil. That's a YouTube exclusive broadcast at 7 o'clock. And on Sunday afternoon, local teams in action, 3:05. Broncos host the Titans, 3:25. Packers are home to the Lions, and Dan Campbell says, I love playing in Lambeau.
Man, we love Lambeau. I mean, it's awesome. You know, it's just, That's one of those places on the eighth day the good Lord made Lambeau.
And as sick as it makes me to say, the Lions have loved playing there lately because they've won there lately more often than not. Lastly, from the NFL, Bill Barnwell, realistic expectations for Micah Parsons in Green Bay this year, injury and otherwise.
I do think they're going to be thoughtful about a guy who didn't play during the preseason, who didn't practice much or didn't do much outside of sit on a training table during the preseason. I think even if you were 100%, you'd want to be maybe a little judicious about how you use him. You know, but I do think he's going to be in this game, and I think he's going to be in the spots where you need Micah Parsons. I mean, will he be on the field for first and second down at times? No. Is he going to be on the field if they're up 20 points, down 20 points? No. But every third down, every obvious passing situation, Packers are going to have Micah Parsons on the field. And even if he only plays 25 or 30 snaps in this game, that could be the plays that make the difference.
And it might end up being a pinch runner situation, big spot fourth quarter situation to close out the game for Micah Parsons coming up on Sunday. Hopefully, Packers favored by 2.5 at Lambeau, 325 on CBS, 3 o'clock. Coverage begins right here on the Green Bay Packer Radio Network. Let's dive right in. Monday Night Football, Vikings at the Bears, 7:15 on ABC and ESPN. Minnesota's a 1.5-point favorite in that game. Let's move forward now into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. Gunnar Hensley, quarterback of the Augustana football team, has been named the NSIC Player of the Week, Offensive Player of the Week, after the Vikings came from behind to take care of Missouri Western 30-26 just on Saturday. Hensley earned his third career weekly honor. The numbers are absolutely bonkers here. 3 touchdown passes, an NCAA D2 high 430 yards, also completed 31 of 51 pass attempts to 9 different receivers. Gunnar Hensley, your offensive player of the week in the NSIC. Speaking of the Augustana Vikings, a former Viking men's basketball standout is on his way to play professionally overseas. Akoya Koi has signed a contract to play professionally for Ginnasio Clube Figueirense, a Pro Liga league club announced earlier this week. Akoya is a native of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and becomes the 25th former Viking to sign a pro contract. Big stuff for the 6'6" forward. Akoya, 13.6 points, 5 rebounds per game while starting all 30 games a year ago. The 38th member of the 1,000-point club at Augustana officially signing a pro contract overseas. Your SD prep poll is out for high school football. Lincoln remaining your top team, just barely over Brandon Valley. The Patriots 11 first place votes. BV had 9. Jefferson 3rd in the poll. O'Gorman 4th and Harrisburg 5th in AAA. AA Pier is your top team, followed by Yankton and T. Titans get a first place vote in the poll. 11 single A, Sioux Falls Christian. 16 of the possible 20 first place votes there. And 11 B, Elk Point Jefferson, the new top team. Wagner 2, St. Thomas More 3, and winner. Last week's number one falls down to number 4. Other top teams, Elkton Lake Benton in 9 AA, Wall in 9 single A, and Sully Buttes remains the top team in 9B. South Dakota Prep Media volleyball poll is also out, and the top teams remained atop their classes. Harrisburg in AA, followed by O'Gorman, BV, Watertown, and Washington. Single A, Del Rapids, followed by Sioux Falls Christian, Dakota Valley, Miller, and Rapid City Christian. In Class B, it's Chester area, followed in the poll by Warner, Northwestern, Hitchcock-Tulare, and Burke in the latest SD Media volleyball poll. And lastly, fresh off their third best regular season in the 33-year modern history of the team, the scoreboard exploding. Sioux Falls Canaries will open up their third consecutive playoff run with a home game at the Birdcage tonight against the rival Sioux City Explorers. 6:35 is the start time. And take note of these great deals tonight at the Birdcage. Fans can save big-time money on hot dogs and beer. Sounds like a good combo for some baseball. Hot dogs will be buy one, get one free, and all 12-ounce Coors Lights will be just $2.25 from when the gates open at 5:35 until the first pitch time at 6:35. Tickets can be found at tickets.sfcanaries.com. Canaries into the postseason for the third consecutive year. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number one. We'll get an early break out of the way because we got to talk about a big-time football program here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The Augustana Vikings moving up in the rankings. They're not number 23 anymore. Vikings elevating to number 20 following a wildly entertaining opener. Come from behind, 10 points down late in the ball game. Augustana, no problem against Missouri Western. We'll dive in with head coach Jerry Olszewski next on this Wednesday edition of Overtime.
ESPN Sioux Falls gets you back to more of Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Just getting going on this middle of the week edition of Overtime. Welcome back to this Wednesday, September 3rd edition of the show. College football season off and running last weekend, and the Augustana Vikings had it all in their opener. Up early, down late by 10 in the third quarter. They come back to lead it. They go down again with just 5 minutes to go and come back, and in the final seconds, find a way to get the job done. 30-26, the season opening win for the Augustana Vikings over the Griffins of Missouri Western. That was right here in Sioux Falls. They got Jamestown coming up this weekend. Here to recap and preview the things to come for his program, Augie head football coach Jerry Olszewski on the ESPN hotline. Coach, welcome back. How you doing this week?
I'm phenomenal, Bert. Always love spending time with you, my friend.
Hey, it's great to have you. I got this beautiful Augustana Viking helmet here. By the way, the white helmets you guys brought out this past weekend, also amazing in that win over Missouri Western. Take us through the gamut of emotions, the iron sharpening iron of the opener, 30-26, the tally in the end, and that game had it all just on Saturday.
Yeah, it really did. You know, it's ironic. I've been doing this for a minute, and you try to share with your guys what a game could be like. In an opener, you just don't know. You know, there's a lot of change on them. They had a lot of returning players, and they were a very competitive team, as we talked about last week, with guys they came back with. They had seven games that they were, you know, lost by a total of 7.1 points per game. So we knew it was going to be a heck of a matchup. And then all the situations that you practice during spring ball and fall camp, all but one came to fruition. Other than the onside kick, I think we covered the history of college football in that game with every scenario. The thing I'm most proud of, you know, we have a lot of new faces, including on our staff. Bert, the thing that I'm most proud of this football team is a gritty win. They showed composure. They addressed adversity multiple times in that game. And at the end, they hung together and found a way to get a win, and a culture type of win that they're used to winning, you know, and that was what I was most proud of.
Augustana, certainly a lot to be proud of to start out the season. 1-0 the record. They got Jamestown coming up on Saturday. It's a 1 o'clock start time. I got some tickets to give away later on in today's show, so stay tuned. If you would like to go and watch Augustana this weekend at home, Kirkaby Ober Stadium, 605-362-3776, always the number to have ready. Head football coach Jerry Olszewski, our guest. Let's talk about the ludicrous stats offensively. Gunnar Hensley, your NSIC Offensive Player of the Week, 51 passing attempts, 430 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I know that makes you smile. And then Isaiah Huber, 14 catches, 207 yards and a touchdown and a sweet mustache to boot. What do you think about those guys, their performances just on Saturday, Coach?
They were both, you know, big time. And I think as the game went on, you know, we saw some matchups that we could exploit a little bit and attack. And it worked out well in our favor. They got a great connection, those two do. Ironically, Gunner gets the player of the week in the league, and our player of the week was Isaiah internally. So I just think it's a compliment to the work they've put in, you know. And the other thing is, we put them in a position to be successful, but players make plays. You know, coaches, we get designs and schemes, and we try to put our kids in the best position possible. But at the end of the day, players win games, players win championships.
Coach, let's talk about that connection, the uncanny knack for getting open and being able to have that feel. You and I are Packer fans. We know all about it with Rodgers and Jordy Nelson, Rodgers and Davante Adams. Talk about their connection between Hensley and Huber. What goes on between the ears that makes that connection kind of thrive at this level to the tune of 14 catches on Saturday?
Well, I think there's a trust factor. And then, as we said when Isaiah was in studio that day, they communicate. You know, they'll come off the sideline in practice and say, you know, I want you here. This is where I'm going to get it to you. Or, hey, I can set it up and get here. I think there's that trust factor between them and the respect between each other that's really important. And Gunner spread it around. I mean, he had 10 different guys that caught balls. So it wasn't like it was just Isaiah, but he had so many yards after catch, just breaking a tackle, making a play after a play. But I think that relationship matters. It's close, and again, they respect each other. and they believe in each other. Like, I'm going to get it there, and I know you're going to be there. And that doesn't always work out that way, but I know that they're confident, and that's all that I worry about.
We're talking Augustana Viking football. Head coach Jerry Olszewski is our guest here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Coach, for every yin, there's a yang in football. Your offense puts up crazy numbers, particularly in the passing game. The running game, not as prolific. 3 yards a carry, 65 yards on the ground. Certainly, you'd probably like a little bit more balance, but the sport of football, you always hear it. You'll take what the defense will give you. What is an ideal balance this year? And a lot of it, I'm sure, is matchup dependent.
It is. And to me, balance is different than most people may think about it. It's exactly what you just said. Take what defenses are giving you. To me, in various sets and what we're in formationally and personnel-wise, it may call for this or that. I know the numbers are, you know, pretty egregious that way. We want to average 3.5 a carry. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where we're at. That's where we want to be. We're only 3 yards a carry in this game. You know, and I got asked this question by multiple people, only 22 rushing attempts and 51 passing attempts. Well, there was 15 RPOs that were buried in that, you know, and if those are gives rather than throws, you know, you're at 37 and 46, which, you know, by numbers, if people are balanced people, that sits better. And probably more productivity in the rush game. But, you know, I trust Gunny's eyes, his read pre and post snap. And we'll take a 5 yard throw just as easy as we'll take a 5 yard run. So that's going to be us this year. You know, that's I trust Gunner immensely with the ability to read defenses, look at spacing, and put players in conflict. And I think that's going to be a productive offense if we're able to stay on track with that, and an explosive offense. To boot, because sooner or later, you're not willing to give up that 5 yard throw that turns into a 15 yard play. And if they are, we'll continue to take it.
Augustana Viking football 1-0 following a 32-26 victory over Missouri Western on Saturday. They got the Jamestown Jimmies back home at Kirkaby Over Stadium. Before we preview that football team, newcomer to the NSIC, just the a thought, coach, from you on how cool it is to be in front of the home fans to start out for two games this year, the Saturday atmosphere, and what you expect this weekend at Kirkaby Over.
Well, I think it's awesome for this team particularly to have two home games to start the season. We're young, and we played 29 different players on defense on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We, like I said, had 10 different guys catch the ball, five rush the ball, played multiple guys. We had 9 guys in their first start on Saturday. 20 of our points came from people that never scored a point in Augustana history. So when we went through our first, which we do every single Monday when we meet, it took me 3 minutes to get through just the first from that game, first touchdown, first sack, first tackle, first start, first this, first that. To be in front of our home crowd and to be able to play as many different players as we did, and we hope to do that again on Saturday, to get them some experience and to get some game run experience underneath their belt so that when they're called upon in a big role and in a big moment, that it's not the biggest moment they've been in to that point. So I think it's huge. Our crowd was amazing on Saturday. It was awesome start to the season. And I look forward to a great weather day again on Saturday and to get it rolling at home. And we want to be undefeated at home. We want KO to be a place where opponents get into and realize it's not going to end well for you that day.
Certainly a special place to play, and you could be there on us or buy your tickets. If you don't win with us at GoAuggie.com, Jamestown, the opponent, Saturday, a 1 o'clock kickoff time from inside Kirkaby Over Stadium. Always a fun place to catch a football game. Let's talk about the Jimmies. They're going to gear it up and open NSIC play with your team on the road. Certainly a big challenge for them. What stands out scouting-wise about Jamestown as they come in on Saturday?
Well, it's an odd thing that they didn't play, you know, in week zero. So we literally have two openers. You know, we don't have a lot of information on them other than last year's film. They got a new offensive coordinator. They've added a new special teams coordinator and a guy who's familiar with our league and Coach Dosh. And I got a lot of respect for Tom as a coach and as a man. He's got some background in our league. They have 10 offensive kids who started a game or started some games for them and 15 guys on their roster that have played in offensive games or offensive plays. 7 starters on defense, 9 guys minimally that have played. So, you know, we don't know that much about them like we will of future opponents coming up here. But we know enough. We know they're an odd front. It's going to get down to some 4 stuff, play some quarters and some cover 3 and some wrap stuff. But And offensively, with the new offensive coordinator, we'll have to feel that out, be a little bit more vanilla defensively until we get our feet underneath us, just like we did on Saturday. Missouri Western came with a different plan than they did last year on film. So I'm thankful I got a seasoned staff that understands, you know, football, and we'll address the game as it goes. I was really proud of how our kids reacted to adversity in this one and took coaching change as we changed some of our schemes and some of our planning in the second quarter and at halftime. And I expect that's going to happen again, which is a good growth thing for us, Bert. You know, the more information our kids can get and then apply it and execute it, that's going to help us, you know, every game, but certainly down the road.
Augustana going to play host to Jamestown. Week two of the D2 college football season on the way. Saturday, a 1 o'clock kickoff time from Kirkaby Over Stadium. Lastly, Coach, before we cut you loose, just a key or two for your team to win the game. Is it a little bit more balance? Is it continued protection of Gunnar Hensley? Your team just gave up one sack a week ago. What needs to be in the secret sauce and a good recipe for a win coming up on Saturday?
Well, I think we got to correct some of the things that we didn't do well on Saturday. That starts there. You know, what do we need to do better more than what we need to worry about what Jamestown does? We got to correct some of the things that we need to improve on. I thought we were pretty solid in special teams with the exception of a blocked field goal. That is going to continue to be the hallmark of this team. We're going to need to win every special teams battle in order to be a competitive team this year. So I want to see that. Offensively, balance-wise, I want to declare the line of scrimmage a little bit more firm. This is a good defensive front we just saw last week. We'll be challenged again this week, and we're hoping that we can get some movement and where we can pry some stuff out and get the ball downhill out of the backfield. And then just productivity in the red zone. You know, we need to improve in the red zone, and that's going to be really big. 7 points, not three, or attempts at three. And then defensively, as we continue to roll guys in, do a better job on third down. We need to do a better job of creating, you know, third and favorable defensively and put them behind the chains so that we can be in more attack mode, because I thought we addressed the field area really well and had a couple explosives hit against us. So if we can eliminate those things, be better in creating third down, be better on third down, and eliminate the explosives, I think we'll be in a good place come Saturday.
And it's another big game for Augustana Viking football, looking for a 2-0 start in 2025. That's longtime head coach Jerry Olszewski. Coach, go get him again this weekend. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate you so much, Bert. Have a blessed week, buddy.
All right, that's head coach Jerry Olszewski. Big stuff ahead for the Augustana Vikings. If you would like to go, if you can't make it, listen to the ball game on 100.1 FM KXRB down the hall here at Results Radio. Jeff Filling, always a dynamic call of Augustana Viking football. But I got a 4-pack of tickets sitting here right in front of me right now. So first come, first serve, caller number one, 605-362-3776. You want to go see the Jamestown Jimmies for the first time in NSIC conference action in Sioux Falls against the Augustana Vikings Saturday, 1 o'clock. If you've never been, get out and support the Vikings. 605-362-3776, the number to dial. If you'd like the tickets in my hand right now, think you can hear those, dial me up, 605-362-3776. When we come back, whip around the sports world. Rankings are out for D2, for FCS, for FBS, and the Ohio State Buckeyes are rising to the top. The cream of the crop in the FBS. We'll dive in to the latest rankings, U.S. Open, Major League Baseball, and test your wits next with the identity crisis. Another chance to win big right around the corner on this Wednesday edition of Overtime on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to Overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Overtime. Congratulations to our Augie ticket giveaway winner. Guy was our lucky caller number one. Still to come, the identity crisis that's at the end of this segment. We're talking 10 minutes from now. We'll be testing your wits today with a former NFL football player that's on my mind, and you may have to backtrack just a bit, a little bit further than we typically do with that name that player I'm talking about, Sile, segment coming up here with the identity crisis. Let's start with some football news here. We got the new AFCA D2 top 25 out, and Ferris State remains your top team. Big win over Pittsburgh State in their opener. They're 1-0. Harding was idle in week one. They remain number two. Grand Valley State, 3. Slippery Rock, 4. And CSU Pueblo rounding out the top 5. Minnesota Mankato won over Missouri State in the opener. And they're 1-0. And certainly in the number 8 spot right now in the AFCA top 25. And the Augustana Vikings were number 23 last week. And they're up 3 spots to number 20 after that big win over Missouri Western in the opener. Dropping out of the top 25 that concerns us in this neck of the woods, Bemidji State was number 16. They lost their opener and fall out. Duluth and Bemidji both receiving votes and newly minted into the receiving votes category. Just one, but you got to start somewhere. USF Cougar football, big win over the weekend against Black Hills State. That was last Thursday. They'll tune it up and get ready to rumble for week number 2 of action around the corner. Coach Glagowski and the Cougars are 1-0, and they've got one vote in this week's poll. Not in the rankings yet, but the others receiving votes category. Well, it's Ohio State's world, and we're all just living in it, I guess. I thought Texas would be far the better team, would be by far the better team this past weekend, and that was plain and simply not the case. Arch Manning overhyped? Yeah. Julian Sain underhyped? Yeah, and the Buckeye defense, as good as you'll find in this country, has propelled Ohio State from number 3 to number 1 in the latest AP Top 25. Buckeyes 1, they have 55 of the first place votes. Penn State 2, LSU makes the jump from number 9 to number 3 following the dominant win over Clemson. Garrett Nussmeier and company doing work there, 1-0 and number 3 in the country. Georgia, nobody seems to want to talk about them this year. They're number 4, that's up a spot. Miami up 5 spots from number 10 to number 5. And rounding out the top 10, Oregon, Texas, Clemson, Notre Dame, and South Carolina. So the Longhorns fall from number 1 to number 7. And not a whole lot of other movers there, but South Carolina, last team we mentioned, up from number 13 to number 10. The Illinois Fighting Illini, one area team in the top 25. They occupy the 11th spot. Iowa State up 6 spots from number 22 to number 16 following a dominant win over South Dakota. And Indiana, another area team. We're stretching that out to the Big Ten country. Indiana number 23 in this week's rankings. Iowa and quarterback Mark Gronowski nowhere to be found in the others receiving votes category as of this week. But Nebraska and K-State right in the thick of it. Those two teams respectively right around, I don't know, 32, 33 spot in the AP top 25. And dropping out of the rankings, Kansas State and Boise State after a tough week. Novak Djokovic took a 2-set lead against American Taylor Fritz, an opponent he always beats, to close in on the semis, a round he often reaches at the U.S. Open, and marked the occasion by blowing kisses to those in last night's crowd, pulling for the last American man in the field. That was just a taste of the back and forth between the Joker and some of the folks in Arthur Ashe Stadium, and there was still work that remained. He would finish off a 6-3, 7-5, 3-6, 6-4 victory. Joker improved to 11-0 against 2024 runner-up Taylor Fritz and reached a record-extending 53rd Grand Slam semifinal, a total that includes a record-tying 14 at Flushing Meadows. I was just trying to survive, Djokovic said. It's one of those days where you just have to grind, and Novak is playing that villain role to a T again into the semifinals of the U.S. Open. Let's update you quickly on the field, on the TV right now, on the men's side. Apologies included already, you know that, on the name pronunciations, but Felix Auger Aliassime, the Canadian, down a set to Alex Deminar of Australia, 6-4 in set one. The final, they're on to set two on ESPN TV. Other matchup today on the men's side is top seed Yannick Sinner against 10 seed Lorenzo Musetti. That's a 7:30 start time on ESPN. And on the women's side, American Jessica Pegula beat up on Krejcikova 6-3, 6-3. She's moving on, and Sabalenka with a walkover of Vondrousova. So it'll be Pegula and Sabalenka into the semis. And today on the women's side, a noon start time right around the corner for young American Amanda Anisimova. Noon start against 2-seed Iga Swiatek, and then a 6 o'clock start on the women's side for 11-seed Karolina Mukova against Naomi Osaka. Suddenly back in the limelight, a 6 o'clock start time for the Japan native. 6 o'clock for Osaka and Mukova tonight from the U.S. Open. Baseball chatter now, Shohei Ohtani hit his 100th home run with the Dodgers already last night, but the Pirates spoiled the milestone with a 9-7 win. Ohtani's solo shot off of prospect Bubba Chandler was the second hardest hit homer in Major League Baseball this year with an exit velocity of 120 miles an hour. It was home run number 46 for Ohtani this year and the hardest hit ball of his Major League Baseball career. He keeps getting better. Playing in career game number 294 with the Dodgers, he became the fastest to reach 100 home runs in team history, beating Gary Sheffield, and it took him 444 games to hit 100 home runs with the Angels. So even faster than his Angels tenure, as to be expected. He's a more mature player these days, but Ohtani not slowing down anytime soon. The only players all-time who have reached 100 homers with a single team faster than Ohtani are Mark McGwire and Babe Ruth. And we certainly know Ruth, generationally talented. McGwire, same deal. Also, maybe some added juice, if you will, there to McGwire's totals. After the homer, Teoscar Hernandez hit a two-out RBI single, and Andy Pages led off the next inning with his 24th homer, tying it 4-4. Dodgers lose last night, but Shohei Ohtani continues to win. That's the latest from Major League Baseball for now. Shohei Ohtani already 100 home runs with the LA Dodgers in that tenure. And it's time now to test your wits with today's identity crisis. I don't think this is going to be that easy. Let's test you right now. The identity crisis brought to you as always by the Original Pancake House.
What do you know about Ray Finkel?
Soccer-style kicker. Graduated from Collier High, June 1976. Stetson University Honors graduate, class of 1980. Holds two NCAA Division I records, one for most points in a season, one for distance. Former nicknamed the Mule, the first and only pro athlete ever to come out of Collier County, and one hell of a model American.
Well, this is exhausting. Let's see if you can tell us the sports figure we're talking about in today's identity crisis on Overtime.
Your calls always welcome, 605-362-3776. And one big rule here, folks. I get calls, people already dialing me up right now. Please be patient. I want it to be fair for everybody. Dial me up when you think you know the answer, and I'll get to you accordingly. There's no way you think you know the answer already. I haven't even given a clue yet, so dial me up when you think you know the answer at 605-362-3776. I got Augie tickets, an OPH gift card, and more in today's prize pack for the identity crisis. A former NFL football player is on my mind. Pretty good career. Some would say a great career for this player of the past. Let's dive right in, shall we? A former NFL player that was a wide receiver. That's your first clue. He wore number 84 for the vast majority of his career, played 1 year with the number 82. This receiver that wore number 84 went to the University of Virginia, played in the NFL from 1991 to 2002, and played for the Lions and the Giants. Only played 1 year for Big Blue, was a big-time Lion wide receiver from 1991 to 2002. Who the heck am I talking about? I had a feeling that the phone lines would be dull today for this one, because this dude is disrespected. He's not mentioned among the best receivers in the NFC North history. We got a lot of great receivers, but this guy had a really great stretch run in his career where he put back-to-back-to-back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, 11 touchdowns, 14 touchdowns, 9-8, and was a big-time pass catcher and a three-time All-Pro with the Lions in the mid-90s. Who the heck am I talking about? And I'm going to give you another courtesy clue here. Three-time All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler. This dude, a big part of the reason why the Lions went to the postseason in the mid-90s. This is a tough one. No calls in. 605-362-3776. If you started on Madden like I did back in Madden 98, you knew this guy's name. Here come the calls. 605-362-3776. Welcome into the show. What's your name?
Dave.
Dave, what's today's correct answer, Dave?
Herman Moore.
What a player Herman Moore was. A three-time All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler, one of the better receivers in Detroit Lion history. 9,000 receiving yards, 62 touchdowns. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer anytime soon, but certainly in the mentions, if you will, for the best receiver in Lions history. That, to me, Calvin Johnson, no doubt about it. But Herman Moore, pretty darn good player in the mid-90s for the Detroit Lions. Congratulations to Dave. He's our big winner of today's Identity Crisis on Overtime. Augie football tickets, OPH gift card, and so much more. Thanks for playing, as always. Your calls, always welcome. 605-362-3776. We'll take the break. Come back with your top of the hour headlines and highlights on the way. Still a big, and I mean big, NFL segment on the way. Latest from the league, definitive list of Super Bowl contenders as penned by yours truly. That's right, I wrote them out today. There are six teams that will win the Super Bowl. And you could say that around the water cooler and people not chuckle at you. And the Green Bay Packers are on that list. Now, the teams that could win the Super Bowl, the Vikings are on that list. We'll meet the lines of demarcation, the teams within those tiers, and so much more in hour number two. Keep it here on Overtime on ESPN Sioux Falls.